Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us. First off, and most simply, why is there a shortage?
Well, through time, Sean, relying on market forces, the usual sorts of situations of supply and demand, decisions have been made that Australia's domestic refining capacity is less than what we did had over recent years has been not what we really need, and we can reduce that. So there's been a reduction in our domestic ability to produce high-end fuels, and through time a reliance on maritime supply chains to deliver crude oil and other refined fuels.
Are we seeing many difficulties in the fuel supply chain at the moment, given that, as we said there, we are importing the vast majority of our fuel?
Well, Sean, if everything works perfectly overseas in terms of South China Sea and issues of supply coming out of the Middle East, everything should be good. But unfortunately, as you'd appreciate, and many of the listeners would appreciate, that we can't just sit in a bubble in Australia and assume everything external to our shores will be perfectly quiet and no surprises coming along the chain.
No, certainly not.
Yeah. So, you know, we work to a just-in-time supply chain model, which means that the crude oil and the other sources come to Australia at a particular expected timeline with a certain amount per ship, and then the ongoing use of that crude oil product, refining fuels currently in Australia at the four remaining refineries, and in some cases, as I said, there's already high-end fuels in that supply coming in via ship. So if there is a disturbance to the supply chain, it might not be an issue where there's a shooting war in the South China Sea where ships don't stop completely. There's a middle case issue where the ships may be delayed, so they get to Australia later or more slowly than expected. So that could cause a ripple effect.
Well, the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security is treating this low fuel supply as a national security issue. However, the Turnbull government is trying to reassure us that Australia shouldn't be too concerned about the fuel security problem. Dipping below that 90-day threshold, it does seem like a bit of an arbitrary marker, I suppose. What is your view on this? Dipping below the 90 days, is that a security issue?
Well, it's the mandated level that all the signatory economies to the Commission have actually signed to. So, again, it's a very complex supply and demand issue. Is that do you rely on the global markets to provide the most cost-effective source of crude oils or other refined fuels? Do you retain in-house or in-country capacities to generate crude and then refine it yourself? So there's a lot of economic issues that come into that complex question. But in terms of the 90 days, again, all of these particular ratings are predicated on everybody being happy globally and nobody having not too much strife in terms of security issues or points where people may be shooting at each other, so to speak. There's quite a few over the last many years. There's been low-level intensity events happening around the world where people may be unhappy with neighbours and other forms of warfare and other things. So this sort of situation has been ongoing for many years. Whether the 90-day is the best, for example, the UK in recent years have been up to 250 days of reserves, and other economies such as the United States and China have similarly way above the 90-day rule.
Looking at that supply and demand question, how are we likely to see it actually affecting everyday Australians? Are we going to see the trickle down of higher and higher fuel prices?
Sean, it's likely that there will be variations in fuel costs and certainly petrol prices, etc. But the critical thing that we have to focus on is we have to have, be aware that the government is sort of responding to these things, possibly with a degree of prodding from various voices within the industry. I understand and know that the NRMA have funded a number of studies some years ago, 2013, 2014, on this particular issue. So the government has been a little bit flat-footed in recent times, but the critical thing is the government's decided that it's time to act, and the review that will happen, the full review completed by the end of this year, in the larger energy security assessment by mid-2019. So the government isn't asleep at the wheel currently, but it has been a little bit slow to react to some of the more geopolitical issues. So there's likely to be some variations in petrol price, but at the end of the day, the government is in reactive mode now, in the sense that it's doing things, but it's also looking a little bit further into the future. So I would expect there will be some variations in price, but at the end of the day, the government has to deal with what's required for the country, and they seem to be moving forward.
And just finally, Paul, given that we are looking at so many external factors actually coming into the fuel security we're seeing here, this good housekeeping review into Australian fuel security, do you expect to see much major difference, many major sort of new recommendations actually coming out of a review of this type?
Look, if it's going to be totally realistic and everybody is working in the same direction, I would suspect that we will see recommendations to increase the refinery capacity in Australia, or at least expand the existing locations with greater throughput, greater capacity building. So maybe some additions to the industry in those locations in terms of the capacity to produce fuels. But also, I would think in terms of the storage capacity in Australia, there probably will be, in practical terms, recommendations, I would imagine, to increase the storage capacity and the location of some of those storage capacity items. So I would suspect that we'd have to have those two items in play. But the fuel review has to be aligned to the broader energy security assessment that will be coming, as announced by the government, by mid-2019. So there'll be other issues that will have to be analysed, but the supply chain for fuel coming into the country and the way in which fuels are used within the country to maintain essential services and resupply of supermarkets, etc., and agricultural produce development and manufacturing, all of that has to be considered. But the initial logical things was to move from a just-in-time supply chain for fuels to a just-in-case. So there's a little degree of measure twice, cut once. So that means increasing refinery capacity and the ability in locations where we would have storage facilities.
Well, marvellous, Paul. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.